It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll get the latest in national politics with our friend Paul Singer from USA Today.
First, in a speech last week to the Rotary Club in Madison, Milwaukee Bucks president Peter Fagan called Milwaukee the most racist, segregated place he's ever experienced. Yesterday, Fagan softened those comments, calling Milwaukee a terrific community and saying he didn't intend to characterize the general community as racist.
There's been a lot of reaction to those comments since they came out. James Causey joins us now to talk about the comments and issues of race and segregation in Milwaukee. He's a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. James, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thank you.
What was your initial reaction when you heard that Milwaukee Bucks president Peter Fagan said Milwaukee is one of the most segregated and racist places he's ever experienced?
Well, honestly, I wasn't really shocked by that. I think that's a sentiment that's felt by a lot of people in Milwaukee who don't feel that they're getting their fair shake in the economic and from an economic standpoint.
And let's break down the two parts of that, segregated and racist. Segregated, I mean, there's a lot of data on that. The numbers are out there. Milwaukee and the area are a very heavily segregated community, aren't they?
Right, and that's the part that's really interesting. People don't want to... They give you the segregation part. They won't even argue that. They say, yeah, Milwaukee is segregated. If you look anywhere in Milwaukee, if you're black, you probably live on the north side. If you're Hispanic, you probably live, on the south side. And, you know, so it's very, very segregated, hyper-segregated in Milwaukee. And I would even go to say that you can almost tell by a person's race where they live, you know, within blocks of where they live. So that hasn't changed, and no one tends to argue that part. The racist part is the part that seems to have everyone up in arms. And he's speaking from his personal experience. And I don't know why we want to argue against what he sees personally. I think what we should be asking is, compared to where else have you lived, and what can we do to get better?
Right. Do you see the reaction to his statements as, hey, yeah, let's have a conversation about segregation, racism in Milwaukee, or, hey, why is this out-of-town businessman, we're paying lots of money to help build a stadium, criticizing our city?
It's more of the latter. I mean, I've been flooded with emails today with people telling me to go after him and telling him that he needs to get the money back then if he feels this way, and why would a business leader or the president of the Bucks want to build a stadium here or a new arena here if he feels that way. The best part about what he said is that he wants to be a part of the solution, and he believes that the team could be a part of the solution, and I would like to hear what those plans are. Right now, we don't seem to have a plan in place to address segregation or hyper-segregation or racism in this city. Our business leaders don't speak out on it. Our political leaders really don't speak out on it. And so people are left to just deal with it on their own, and nothing has been resolved. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse. And usually when you have unrest in a city like we had in Sherman Park, segregation, racism, and all those things come to their show the ugly head, and that's when we want to have that discussion.
Well, James, I'll tell you, I broke one of my rules today, and I read the comments on a lot of articles covering these comments and the issues that they raised. And honestly, it's one of those cases where you could, you know, maybe the comments are being written by people in two different countries. People arguing segregation is here, but, oh, it just kind of happens naturally by personal choice versus segregation, real thing, real problem. And then racism, yes, daily reality, or racism, no, not here at all. I mean, how do you start to solve a problem when there's such massive polarization on the existence of the problem?
Well, I mean, think about it. How many poor people want to live next to poor people? I mean, I don't know people who make that as a choice, that that's what they want to do. People live where they're kind of forced to live. And you know, if they had money, if they had means of transportation, if they had other ways to live in these different places, they would do so. You know, we have one of the largest educational gaps in this country here in Wisconsin, and we have one of the largest economic gaps as well. We have a lot of poverty here. And due to that poverty, people are forced to live in areas where they probably, that these areas need a lot of police assistance to help them deal with a lot of issues that they face with crime. And that's not fair to anyone. And, you know, the part I really have a problem with is when it comes to segregation is people feel that, yeah, we may need the bodies of people to work out at these different places, like work at the Walmarts and work at these different locations. So when they build these big facilities, but they don't want people to live out there. You know, we had these issues before, and they showed this ugly head when workers say, well, you know, we're working out in these places, and we would like to live closer to these places because it's harder for us to get transportation out here. And people say, no, you know, you go back to where you were, but you could come out here and work, and that's just not fair. Now, how did we get here is a question. How did we get to a place where we're so hyper-segregated? That's the golden question. And another thing with racism, I mean, if anybody thinks racism is over or is done because we had a black president, then they're mistaken. I think and racism doesn't have to be, I'm sorry I'm talking about a lot of different things, but
that's
racism
fine.
Doesn't necessarily have to be that it's white people are racist against blacks. There are some blacks that are racist against whites as well. So we just really have to come to the table and start having a discussion about our differences and work those things out, because deep down inside, I think we all want the same things. We want our families to live in safe neighborhoods. We want our kids to go to great schools and receive great educations. And we want to be able to live the American dream. And unfortunately, too many of us are not.
Talking to James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about recent comments from the president of the Milwaukee Bucks describing Milwaukee as racist and segregated. He's walked those back a little, but not completely. A lot of conversations happened since then. And James, let's talk more about the conversation. You said you wanted to see more leadership, more people in positions like Peter Fagan's bringing these issues up. Who else would you like to see leadership from, people trying to take these issues head on?
Well, I think that would be a great bully pulpit for our governor, and will be a great one for our mayor of this city. These are issues that where we really have to bring all people together and have these discussions. I mean, instead of just having them in our silos. I was having this discussion with one of my colleagues today, and the question came up about Fagan, and I posed a question to him. I said, well, when you really think about it, how many people do you have that are your true friends, that are within your circle, that are outside your race? And, you know, it was one of those kind of conversations where he really had to think about it. I mean, really true friends that are not your race, but your true friends that are in your circle. And there's been studies on this, and a lot of us don't really have a lot of people outside of work. And I'm not talking about people you work with. I'm talking about true friends who don't look like you or who are not of your same race, who are your true friends. And that's a problem. That's a real problem, because we know diversity matters, and we know that it matters in our workplaces, it matters in our neighborhoods, it matters in trying to get things and goals accomplished, that we all need each other, but we can't seem to get over that hurdle. And that's where we need to have real leadership come to the forefront and talk about these issues. Now, when it comes to unemployment and all these other things that come up, I think a lot of people want to put, you know, racism and segregation on a back burner, but maybe that's part of the problem, that these issues have been put on the back burner for so long and never discussed, that we have no way of really having any discussions without getting mad at each other and criticizing each other. And that needs to change.
And James, I want to end by asking you an unfairly huge question that I think a lot of people are trying to solve, but I'll ask you anyway. You know, that what you're saying about us not having friends of different races than ourselves, how do you convene that? How do you make that start happening, especially in a community as segregated as Milwaukee or many other parts of Wisconsin, for that matter?
That's a good question. I wrote a column about this maybe a year or so ago when something happened. I don't remember what the incident was, but I wrote a column. I said, well, it starts by doing something really simple. Invite somebody out to eat who doesn't look like you, and having just a frank discussion about issues. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about race, but just having a discussion about issues. And you'll see how much more you probably have in common than you have not in common. It just starts with us reaching out to each other. And I encourage everyone to do it. And one of my bosses did that with me. And it was eye-opening for both of us. And we all could be better at it. It's funny because when we're kids, we make friends so easy. We don't care about the race of the person. We don't care if they're rich or poor or anything like that. But as we get older, it becomes harder to do. And we need to start breaking down those walls and just say, hey, let's just do lunch. Let's grab a cup of Joe. Let's just talk. It starts with a conversation, and it starts on a small level.
And we'll have more conversations with you in the future. James, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, no problem.
That was James Causey, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked to us about comments from Milwaukee Bucks president Peter Fagan on racism and segregation in Milwaukee.